you fight it. You have 10 children. So when you talk about the media, you talk about from the levels of cartoons to movies, music. What do you do with your own children?
Well, it's a very difficult balance to maintain because you don't want to frighten your children to death. You don't want them to feel like the world is going to come collapsing in around them. But, you know, in those early days, years ago, when I was first studying all of this, you know, they could see this change that had happened in Dad, you know, because the images that I saw of these children being blown to bits like this, you know, as a lifelong Catholic, what's the difference between this and what takes place in the mortuaries in America where children are cut to pieces? Mm-hmm. There's no difference. So I would share with my children, I would say, look what they're doing to your cousins. Mm-hmm. This is an evil thing. And this is the reason why your mother and I have elected to homeschool you, why we are very careful about what you're exposed to, because this could only happen if the people in America had been reduced to the level of functional animals, morally speaking. And so it's been a very difficult task, you know, always shielding them away from the wolves, and that's exactly what it is. But and you know, we're not done. We still have 9 kids at home, and the youngest one's only a year old. So we've got...
You have a ways to go.
We've got a ways to go.
Well, I want to look at what you're talking about, your personal experience, and bring it up a higher level, looking at, for example, a country like Iran that tries to shield its people, especially its young people.
Yes.
And of course, with that, at the same time, when you have the propaganda that's being blasted into the country, then you're going to have sometimes perhaps a clash in what young people may see as their right to know, freedom.
Right.
And on the other end of the battle, it's the government, or for example, in your case, like the parent, mm-hmm. who is trying to protect them.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's not a controlling situation, but protection. So what would you say, if you could, to those who are in positions of power in Iran and dealing mm-hmm. with this type of situation?
Well, as a parent, I support it. When I was here in November, I gave a speech at the National Library that was not as well received as I thought it would be. I was addressing...
The audience were young people?
They were young journalism students.
Okay.
And I said, you're going to be very surprised to hear me as an American say what I'm about to say. I said, but I don't believe in the notion of free speech. I don't think that people should be free to say whatever they want and that there aren't penalties associated with it. And you know, you could see some people shifting uneasily, and I said, let me give you an example. I said, let me see a show of hands here. Who thinks that somebody who has been brought up on charges of murder, for example, and he's in court, who thinks that under the guise of free speech, he should be free to go in there and lie through his teeth and that there aren't? I said, imagine if we applied this, you know, this sacred idea of people just being free to say whatever they want to say within the context of the justice system. There would be no justice. There would be no criminals going to jail. The innocent would be going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, words mean things. Words and ideas, they mean things. I said, just a few hundred miles to the south west of here, there's a country that's been completely destroyed. And the mechanism by which it was destroyed was lies and disinformation protected under the guise of freedom of speech. I said, the men and women who are responsible for lying to the American people about Saddam Hussein and his supposed weapons of mass destruction, they have got the blood of millions of innocent people on their hands. But they, you know, there's no penalty for that because of free speech. I said...
So you believe there are certain controls that should be implemented?
Absolutely, yes.
What about with internet?
Well, I think, of course, yes, and I'm saying this as a parent. When I got to Iran in November, I was pleasantly surprised to see that I couldn't log into my own website when I was here.
You couldn't log into your own website.
Yeah, okay, and I'm, you know, completely, you know, the information that I put on my website is something that's, obviously works in Iran's favor, but I couldn't get into my own website. So, you know, it's a little bit of a hassle because I like to update the news every day, so I had to delegate it out to friends and things like that. But
you understand the reason.
I understand. And further, in the speech that I gave to the students there, I said, my country has been destroyed. Sorry. Every bit as much as Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and Syria. Now, our buildings are still standing. Our infrastructure still functions. But the minds and the hearts of the people have been destroyed. And it has all taken place under the guise of freedom of speech. And it ain't over yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the government has every right to police the dissemination of information based upon whether it works for the benefit or to the detriment of the people.
Okay. We're just about out of time, but I wanted you to touch on something very quickly, because as we speak here, you know that Iran is involved with the P5 plus one talks.
Mm.
Your take on this, can the United States and Iran, because I'm not even talking about the other countries, because basically it is the United States that has been behind the sanctions and behind it all, can the United States and Iran actually work together for an agreement and actually work together in general?
No.
Never?
If by some miracle, which I don't deny miracles take place, my entire life is a miracle, my marriage and my children, if by some miracle America actually becomes a free sovereign country without the pernicious influence of the Zionist lobby dictating what we do, then yes, America could do the right thing.
But the United States as it is today, the Islamic Republic of Iran as it is today?
No. The entire charade taking place right now with these negotiations is just a ruse. It is just a replay of the old story that we read in Virgil's Aeneid, where the Greeks have been at war with the Trojans for 10 years and they're no closer to getting within the walls of Troy than they were, and they're looking bad, you see, because the Greeks were not accustomed to this. They go in, they march in, they conquer a place, and it's theirs. And the Trojans are holding out because they've got these walls that are very strong and very high. So the Greeks say, we can't spend another 10 years doing this. Let's trick the Trojans. We'll build this horse. We will declare that that they've won. We're quitting. And then when they bring the horse into the walls of the city, at nightfall, the soldiers that are in the horse will crawl out. They'll open the gates, and in comes the Greek army. And this is essentially what the West and what Israel want to see happen.
So the deal with P5 plus one, if there's a deal, it's the Trojan horse trying to get inside
to get
of Iran.
So that Iran will put her banking institutions in line with Western banking, so that anytime they want, just like kids playing a video game, anytime they want to cause economic problems for Iran in order to create a political situation, maybe there's a leader that they don't like and they want to make create political instability, they can do it. Hollywood. They have to get Hollywood into Iran. They've got to remove all of the filters on the internet and all of the filters on television so that Iranians basically become Persian replicants of American kids. So that they, and so yeah, there will be this semblance, there will be this aroma of an Islamic society, but
just a shell of what it just should be.
Yeah.
1 minute left. Mark, mm-hmm. If you could give any advice to the young people of the Islamic Republic, what would you say to them?
Don't be seduced. Don't be deceived. Just because the wolf happens to be wearing grandma's glasses and the bonnet and the clothes, it's still a wolf. And that wolf has a nature which is to devour you. And no matter what the West tells you, that they want to make you free and they want to, that's not what this is about. This is about separating you from the protective place where you exist so that they can turn you, unfortunately, into just another nation of lost people.
Mark Glenn, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, viewers, for being with us in this very special segment with Mr. Mark Glenn, political analyst out of the United States.